Thanks for downloading this IMSA Radio podcast. It's for personal use only and must not be broadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy by visiting IMSAradio.com or search for IMSA Radio wherever they get their podcasts.
The checkered flag ends the race, but it's only the start of the conversation. Michelin post-race tag on IMSAradio.com. Have your say. Ask the experts. Make your point. Michelin post-race tag. The end of the race is only the beginning.
Well, we haven't got a lot of time here this evening, and so we're going to rattle through a couple of things. Jeremy Shaw's, first of all, Sprint Cup standings for us straight away before we see if we can get some driver interviews.
I reckon it'll be 25-39 for Roman DeAndres and Ross Gunn to the 25-20, so just a 19-point deficit to or advantage to be, which you're looking over Brian Sellers and Madison Snow. So win the drivers win in a Sprint Cup. In the manufacturers, again, super tight. I think that Aston Martin will win by just 10 points over Lamborghini, 26-62 to 26-52. Couldn't be much tighter. In fact, in old money, that's 1 point. I mean, super, super tight there at the front of the pack.
And in the overall championship, sorry, Jeremy, go ahead with that as we go to
the overall championship, the number nine team will extend its championship lead going into the finale. So they came in here with the lead with just 20 points and now will extend that by another 30 with the win today and the Lamborghini of Paul Meller Racing finishing second place. So 29-38 for the number nine team, Robichaud and Vantour, and 28-88 for Brian Sellers and Madison Snow in the Paul Meller Racing Lamborghini.
Jeremy, I'm going to give you a break so that you can get ready for a Porsche race in 20 minutes or thereabouts. Thank you for your efforts on this show as part of IMSA Radio, and I'll welcome you back to the Haggerty Global Broadcast Centre in a few minutes. Cheers, mate.
Thank you.
Jeremy Shaw will take a quick breather, which means that we can bring back from Gradient Racing Mark Miller, who will get on the line. In the meantime, we'll try and get some drivers as well from the race and try and get some post-race reaction. Mark Miller, what a bonkers race.
I hate to say it, but I kind of called it. You saw a lot of different strategies being taken and a lot of, some cars taking two tires, taking four tires, some taking no tires. And it really kind of played at all different angles there, but I feel so bad for Foley and Auberlin and the Turner guys for that contact at the end there. I think they played great strategy.
They
didn't take tires. They came out, ran a great out lap, and set a nice pace that they could manage. And I think it all kind of went away.
But bizarre accident. Looked like Garcia clipped the curb with the rear wheel rather than the front that set him offline.
Yeah, and it doesn't take much to cut down a sidewall. And once the sidewall's cut, you know, you've got to limp it back to the pit. So, you know, also feel horrible for our own team. I thought the Mario's pace was great. And, you know, even though we may not have had like a great finish, he performed really well. Hate to see it end that way for the season, end that way for our guys. And
do we know what happened? Because that did not look like Mario's mistake. We didn't get great views of it, but there was a camera on the top of the car, and there was a little wobble. And you know, I'm no expert, but you know, that did not look right to me in the manner that happened when he braked, and then the way he went straight off at basically unabated speed.
Well, and Mario is king of late breakers. So the word I got was that the left rear brake rotor detached from the rotor hat. So it was a crack failure in the rotor and the hat that that caused an issue. And, you know, you could kind of see, like you said, you called it, it was the wobble, lack of deceleration, because you just don't have enough brake rotors slowing you down at that point. So, and then unfortunately, a fun ride into the tires, which I have done before in the past too. So, it's just a scary place to go off at, there at VIR.
And that new wall of tyres, the sort of interim wall of tyres, is pretty new. I think that's only been put in since the SRO race. That did make a difference there, because although that looked ugly at the front, I'm going to suggest, and I'm by no means an engineer, Mark, that the front of that Gradient NSX actually wasn't too badly damaged. That looked like a bit of bodywork peeled off, but all the wheels were pointing in the right direction.
Yeah, hugely thankful for that first wall. It really dissipated a lot of energy. You could see Mario could get out of the car in between the two walls, and it never reached that final wall. So, yeah, it's mostly cosmetic, we hope. And, you know, less work for the guys and at Gradient, and, you know, less damage. And that's definitely serves its purpose, because years ago, when I went down there, there was only one wall, and there was a lot of damage.
Okay. Yeah, if you went in there and you hadn't got it slowed, if you went off at anything other than walking pace, because you pick up pace going down that hill, there's nothing you can do. Yeah, absolutely yeah. Right. Here's a question, Mark, that I'm going to throw to you. It's coming on at IMSA Radio, hashtag Michelin PRT, from Ian McCarthy, one of our regulars. He says, why is it that the GT-only rounds make for such enthralling racing flag to flag? Is there always as much GT racing in multi-class that we just miss it? Or is it that without the protos there, they get the chance to run their own race? I think a bit of both probably, Mark. But what we do get to do is focus on the strategy there. And without the prototypes coming through, it gives the guys a bit of a cleaner race.
Yeah, you absolutely answered every question yourself there.
Sorry.
But I mean, it's absolutely, this is every GTD and every GTLM race that we run all year, but the action is on us instead of the prototypes. So, you know, this happens every race, but you guys get to see it because the prototypes aren't also out there taking shares of the camera footage. So, you know, this was a typical race for us. I was just very thankful the fact that without having all the camera feeds here at home that I normally would have on the box, I still got to see all the action and all the strategies unfold that you normally, the normal, you know, fan wouldn't be able to see technically all the time. So this is a typical race for us, but everyone gets to see it when it's GT only, and I really love it like that.
And as far as the team for Petit Le Mans, you're not going to be fit for Petit Le Mans. Don't tell me you're going to try and drive for Petit Le Mans.
I'm not going to tell you anything in particular, but it's very unlikely that I would be fit to drive for Petit, unfortunately. But, I mean, even if I could just right foot brake, getting in and out of the car would be a detriment to the pit stop sequence, and I wouldn't ask that of any team to do that.
And as far as what you saw today, then we're not going to get any let up in what we expect to see at Petit. Just add a few more cars and another 7 and a bit hours, really.
Yeah, having raced Petit back in 2016, I haven't been back since then, and had a really great event with the Riley, the Viper team there. We won that event in 16. It is every year one of the most exciting races, and always kind of, it's very similar to this event. The weather is always speculative. You never know what it's going to be. It's just a great event in and out. And it's super hyper competitive. And one of the reasons why I just love racing in IMSA is just the level of competition that you have.
It's been brilliant having you, Mark. I'm sorry it's a bit short on post-race tech, but we've got a Porsche race to get ready for. But thank you for joining us. Keep up the good work with your rehab, and hopefully we'll not have to talk to you anymore, and we'll be talking about you in the car, which is your natural environment. Thank you.
Thank you.
Cheers, Mark. Mark Miller joining us live here on post-race tech. So share unofficially and subject to all of the post-race tech, Aston Martin Racing, at the heart of racing, have won the championship for the Sprint Cup.
Correct, but Aston Martin has not won the championship for the Sprint Cup. By my math, a 10-point advantage to Lamborghini means that Aston Martin comes home second, 2,652 points for Lamborghini, 2,642 for Aston Martin, 2,636 for Lexus. You can't get it much tighter than that.
Thanks, Cher. And if we think we were a little bit short this week, well, we are. We'll make it up, I promise. But don't go away. Coming up next, Andy Kilcoyle, the CEO and founder of Kelly Moss Road and Race, will be talking to us about what it's like to have two hard young chargers at the front of the Porsche Carrera Cup North America, presented by Visit Cayman Islands. And following that, we're into the first race of two from that championship this weekend. Thanks to Mark Miller, to Jeremy and to Shea. I'm John Hindhoff. Keep it locked in. Sound and Vision with Porsches to come. But next, a bit of chat from Kelly Moss Racing and Andy Kilcoyle. From the Haggerty Global Broadcast Centre, for the moment, we'll take a short break. Back soon. Bye-bye.
This programme is a Radio Show Limited production. For more, check imsaradio.com and subscribe to IMSA Radio wherever you get your podcasts.